bit of background for the people that are not familiar with this before we get started. This is a channeling, and channeling really, from my understanding, is something that anyone can do and everyone really does do in one form or another. Channeling is just being in a state where you kind of get out of your own way, stop analyzing. When you're really in the moment, when you're doing something you love to do, and you're just letting that energy flow, in essence, that's a channeling state. So when an actor becomes the part, when a singer is lost in the song, in a sense, they're in a channeling state. Now, that state can be used to access other levels of your own consciousness and apparently other consciousnesses as well. So it's not something that's really unique to one or two individuals. Everyone has the capacity, but it just really depends on what your focus is, what you want to do with that particular creative energy as you allow it to come through you. This particular channeling started and wound up happening to come through in this way based on an incident that happened 25 years ago. I live in Los Angeles, and I had in 1 week, 25 years ago, on two different occasions, two different very close broad daylight UFO sightings with friends present both times. First time it was only about 150 feet away. The second time it was only about 70 feet away. Both times an equilateral triangular ship, dark metallic in color, about 30 feet on a side. After having seen something that blatant, and there was no question as to what we were seeing and no question that it didn't come from here, that really piqued my curiosity to find more out about UFOs, and so I began to do a lot of investigation and a lot of research. Now, back then, there wasn't a lot of books on the subject, and what books there were usually lumped on the bookshelf with other metaphysical books, psychic functioning, channeling, and so forth. So, looking at UFO books, I eventually ran across all the other subjects. 10 years after the UFO sightings, I was introduced to another channel who was practicing at the time in Los Angeles, and eventually the entity coming through that channel offered to teach channeling for whoever might be interested in a class. Now, I went into the class not because I thought I wanted to be a channel. I just wanted to do more research and understand more about what channeling was and find out how such a thing could be taught. But in the class, which was basically a series of guided meditations to make you more receptive to accessing information, either from your own higher self or other levels of your consciousness or whatever, while in a receptive state in those guided meditations, I received what appeared to be, or what felt like, a telepathic message from Bashar and his people. In that one instant, an actual memory came back that I had made an agreement to do this with Bashar somewhere along the line, before this life possibly, and that the other thing I instantly understood was that the UFO sightings that I had seen had been shown to me on purpose to get me to move in the direction I needed to go so that I would be ready to fulfill the agreement when the time came. The message basically was, now that you remember we made this agreement and now that you know it's time to begin, is this something you still want to do? It was still offered as a choice. I had to think about it for a while because I wanted to make sure I wasn't just like hallucinating as some sort of side effect from the meditations. Eventually, I got enough unsolicited outside validation that something real was happening, whatever it was. And I began to realize, well, it doesn't really matter if Bashar is really an extraterrestrial, if this is just another aspect of my own consciousness. What was important was that the information seemed to have the ability to help people make positive and constructive changes in their lives. And for that reason, I decided it would be a worthwhile thing to do. And now here I am 15 years later still doing it, and I've done it around the world. So as long as it continues to seem to still help people, that's why I do it. I say that also because I want especially new people to understand that there's nothing about this that insists that you have to believe that Bashar is a separate being from myself. I have no way of proving it to anyone. And so what I really ask people to focus on is the information. And if it's something that helps you, if you feel you can apply it in your life and make a difference, that's what it's for. If you feel you can't, you will get what you need somewhere else. I'm absolutely sure of that. So this is really all about just participating, interacting, getting ideas and information and perspectives that can maybe help you make changes in a way that you want to a little bit more rapidly. Because certainly Bashar, those that are familiar with him know he does have a relatively unique perspective. And those that are also familiar with him know that he doesn't really beat around the bush. He's pretty direct. And he's also pretty grounded about delivering information in a practical way that you can use in physical reality. He understands that we are physical. He has actually got a physical presence himself, and he knows that it can't remain in a philosophical level. It's got to be grounded in practical methods and understandings that will make a difference here. So that's really his forte. Just a brief note, the word Bashar itself is not literally his name. They don't have names. In their society, they're telepathic, as he's explained it. They don't need names. But as we often say, he knew that we would need to call him something other than Hey You. So when the moment of telepathic contact first occurred, the word Bashar came along with it. I have since understood that it is actually an Arabic word. I am assuming it was chosen because part of my heritage is Arabic, but I don't speak a word of Arabic. I had no idea what it meant. Eventually, someone who did speak Arabic said that the meaning of the word Bashar is messenger of good tidings. So it's obviously very appropriate to what he's doing, and we use it for convenience as his name. So he'll respond to it as such. The methodology here is pretty informal. I will go into the altered state. That will allow the connection to be made. Now, Bashar is not here. He's not inhabiting my body. I don't believe this actually happens with any channeling. What I understand from what Bashar has explained is that as my frequency changes, he changes his frequency. Mine raises to meet his level, his lowers to get closer to ours. Somewhere in the middle, the frequencies meet. When they meet, they lock and synchronize. So what you're getting here is a model of his consciousness, a model of his personality formed out of my consciousness here. But it is a good device to allow him to communicate, and that's basically what I have been trained to do, is be receptive to allowing that to come through. When he comes through, it will take a minute for the transition to occur. He will probably talk for a few minutes on something he feels is important for the group, just to lay a foundation or a groundwork. But the majority of the session, for whatever time it's going to be, a couple of hours or so, will be for you for questions and answers. New people, it does not matter what you ask. I'll say it again. It doesn't matter what you ask. It can be personal. It can be cosmic. It doesn't matter what the subject is. If it's important to you, then don't hesitate. If you are not uncomfortable, if it's okay for you to share it in front of a group, there is no other reason to hold it back, okay? Don't think it's silly. Don't think it's stupid. Don't think it's not important enough. If it's important to you, it's important. So bring it up, okay? That's the ground rules. The last ground rule is just have fun. The more fun you have with him, the more fun he will have with you. You will find he does have a sense of humor. but he will come on very direct and very strong. That is just simply an indication of the level of conviction that they have about their belief systems and their reality. Nothing about that in any way, shape, or form should be an imposition on you to think that you have to believe the same way. That's just the way they are. But be direct, have fun, and that's really all there is to it. So thank you again for coming. I don't think there's anything else I need to say. Yes? No? Okay. I think I did it all? Okay. Sometimes I start getting fuzzy before things, so I sometimes forget things. But thanks again, and I'll see you later. Bye. Just do remember, please, to when you get into this seat, speak clearly so everyone can hear. say good day to you this day of your time. How are you all? Once again, we will take this opportunity, first of all, to thank each and every one of you for allowing this transmission to occur through this particular window and in this particular method at this time. Once again, each and every time, your civilization allows our civilization to communicate with you in this manner. It affords us an opportunity to experience, through each and every one of you, another aspect, another facet of the infinite. And this expands our understanding of all the different ways that creation can present itself. And so we thank you for this gift of sharing. We would like to begin this transmission with the following brief ideas to lay a little bit of what you call a foundation or a groundwork for the primary principles that will generally be contained in almost every subject that we will discuss this day of your time. So, many of you have heard us talk about certain tools, certain states of being, certain states of mind that will allow you to understand who and what you are as a person, as a being, as a personality, a little bit more clearly. For it is in understanding the structure and the nature of yourself as a person and as a being that will allow you to make changes, make shifts in your reality, in the manner that you desire, in the manner that you prefer, more effortlessly, with the idea of less pain, more joy. These ideas now are paramount for what you call this age of transition, this age of awareness on your planet, as you have named it, as you have deemed it. And thus we are very happy to help, to assist in presenting concepts, tools that are handy, that you can use very easily, so that when applying them, you can see the results in yourselves and in your physical reality relatively quickly. The idea, first and foremost, of course, always begins with self-valuation. We understand from our experience with many of you that one of the most difficult things that many of you now have to do on your planet is learn to value yourselves. Because for thousands upon thousands of your years, you have been taught, because you have forgotten your connection to the infinite, you have been taught to think of yourselves as less than worthy, as undeserving, as possessing little or no value, and without an understanding of your worth, without an understanding of your value, no tool we would share with you will really be effective. Only when you begin to learn and behave and hold true that you are a worthwhile aspect of the infinite, that you are a beautiful, unconditionally loved and supported aspect of creation, and hold yourself in the same value that the creation holds you in, only really then will the tools be effective in the strongest way possible. This only makes sense, for the tools will only be as strong and as powerful as the energy you give them, because the energy comes from you, through you. Therefore, you are the ones that determine the efficacy of the tools. They do not really have the ability to work of and by themselves, because they draw their energy from you. They draw their realization capability from you. So let us briefly lay down a little bit as an outline of these ideas, so that we will understand when questions come what we are all talking about, and we'll have something to refer back to as a base point, a baseline. First and foremost, as we have said, self-valuation. From there comes the understanding of what it means to be a personality structure. Personality structure, very briefly, in recap for some of you, in newness for others, is based on three things, three principles. Your personality is an artificial construct. Doesn't mean it isn't natural, but it is a type of mask that is built or created or fabricated from three ideas: belief systems, emotions, and behavior. You can understand the analogy of belief systems as being like blueprints of a building. Emotions are the builders, the activation principles and energies that the building built. The behavior is the building materials, the thoughts and actions that you do. So, you can instantly understand that the nature of the blueprint, the clarity of the design, will determine the ultimate product, and the nature of the builders will determine the quality of the product, and the nature of the building materials will determine the quality of the final building. When those three things are in alignment, you can understand that your reality will reflect the idea of a strong structure, a strong reality that is stable in that way. But if either your belief, blueprint, your emotional builder, or your behavior, building materials, are somehow lacking or out of balance in the idea of self-worth and self-valuation, and are not aligned with the other sides of the three-sided prism, then of course it would be obvious that your building would be, as you would say in your language, a little bit wonky. So, this whole idea is to help clarify what those three components really are all about, and how to maintain them and bring them back into balance. Now, also, it takes an understanding that physical reality is really just a mirror, and it can only reflect what you put out. There are really only four laws in creation that allow you to experience everything that you experience. Law number one is that you exist. Can't do much about that. Now, when we talk, first of all, about laws, we're not talking about the type of laws that you have on your planet that are, in that sense, arbitrary rules and regulations that can be broken or changed or rewritten or ignored. But the idea is even beyond what many of you call laws of physics, because even some of these are only germane to your particular universal reality, and in other dimensions, many of the so-called laws that you have labeled do not really apply. We are talking about real laws, because real laws cannot be broken. Cannot be broken. It is impossible. And it is these four laws that give structure to all of creation. So, as we have said, law number one, you exist. And what that actually means, when taken out to its ultimate logical understanding, is that if you exist now, you always will. And you always have. Therefore, you may change form, but you will always exist in some way, shape, or form. Because isness is the only quality that existence has. It does not know how to become non-existence. Non-existence is already full of all the things that will never exist, and there is no room in non-existence for that which does exist. That which exists only has one quality, to be. And thus, that is the only thing it will always be. So if you do exist, you always will. So, relax. Law number two, the one is the all, and the all are the one. And this simply means that all of the pieces together form the one. And the one is the one, but knows itself simultaneously as all the pieces. What this means is that creation is not separate from the Creator, but is made of the Creator, and that there is no outside to it. Everything that is, every discrete person, place, thing, every discrete concept, every discrete part is a part of one same whole, and also, holographically, every single part is the whole, expressing itself as a part of the whole. So the second law, the one is all, the all are one. Law three, what you put out is what you get back. Very simple. The energy you give off, based on your beliefs, your emotions, your behaviors, the vibrational frequency you give off is what determines the kind of reality experience you have. Because physical reality doesn't exist except as a reflection of what you strongly believe is true for you. That is all physical reality is. It is literally like a mirror. If you are looking in a mirror and you see your face with a frown on it, you know that you don't go over to the mirror and try to force the reflection to smile. You know that if you want to see the reflection smile, you must smile first. There is no way to change the reflection without you smiling first. But you can also conversely understand that when you decide to smile, the reflection has no choice but to return the smile, because it doesn't have a mind of its own. So the idea to understand is that physical reality very much is really like a mirror. It will not change until you do first. But if you do, it has no choice but to follow suit, because it is only a reflection of what you have put out. Law number four. Change is the only constant, and everything changes except the first three laws. That is it. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's it. Every experience you have ever had, are having now, or will ever have, is based on a combination of these four laws to varying degrees. That's it. Now, the idea to understand, again, is that when you allow yourself to make choices, then your choices are based on your motivation, and your motivation is based on your definitions. This is the other way to explain the three-part process. Your behavior, your choices, are based on your motivations, your emotions, which stem from your definitions, which are your beliefs. So anytime you are making a choice, it is always because you have been motivated to make that choice. Motivation only has two parts to it. This is all there is to motivation. You will always, in every single case, you will always choose what you perceive to be the choice that is closest to pleasure and furthest from pain. That's it. That is your entire motivational force. But notice I said you will choose what you perceive to be closest to pleasure and furthest from pain. And that's where definitions come in. Because only as you define what you believe to be pleasurable or painful will you then be motivated to make choices in accordance to that belief. So many times you may choose things that on one level you could say seem to be detrimental or destructive to you, but if you keep choosing it, that simply means that you must have a definition in your belief system somewhere that says that regardless of how painful it is to keep choosing that, you are somehow defining it as being less painful than making any other choice. That's why it is so powerful to get in touch with what your belief systems are, because when you find out why you may be defining something as pleasurable or painful, and you change the definition, you will instantly change your motivation. And you will instantly change the choices that you make, because you're all motivated people. None of you lack motivation. None of you lack trust. It's just a matter of where you are placing your trust and what definition you are motivated to act upon. That's all there is to it. This is how you simplify the things in your life, by understanding them from the base on up, from definition through motivation through choice, from belief through emotion through behavior. That's all there is to it, really. The final thing that we will be including in this toolkit is the idea that we have begun to talk about now recently that is above and beyond the idea of belief, and that is simple knowingness, which comes from the idea of surrender, letting go. Now, again, we understand that in many of the definitions many of you have on your planet regarding this word surrender, many of you will label this as a loss of some sort or a lack of control of some sort, and this is not the case. Surrender, if we may provide our definition, is the letting go of the concept of who you think you're supposed to be and actually being who you are. Because who you are is unlimited possibilities. And when you allow yourself to surrender to the idea and the experience that you were created in the image of the infinite, which means you are infinite possibilities too, then the physical reality, which is only a mirror, can then reflect those unlimited possibilities back to you in the synchronicities as they naturally unfold in your physical day-to-day life. So surrender is actually acceptance of your total self, not, in that sense, the forsaking of your total self, as many of you have been led to believe through the definitions that your world has provided you with that only serve to limit you. And this is what we want to share with you and what we suggest you learn to give up are those limitations. So that is really what we are going to be discussing in all of these interactions, are variations of those principles. It will usually all come down to that idea. And of course, it will usually also come down to one other principle that is all wrapped up in this, And that has to do with being your natural true self, which in many cases is simply another way of saying follow your joy, follow your excitement to the best of your ability, because the sensation that you call joy, the sensation that you call excitement, the sensation that you call unconditional love is the frequency of energy that represents your natural, true, core, original self. So when you are acting on circumstances and opportunities that bring with them the highest level of this joy, the highest level of excitement, you are saying you have the faith to take the steps to act upon your true self, and in so doing, your physical reality, the mirror, will support you because it has no choice but to do so. These are the principles that comprise the toolkit of manifestation and change, and that's really all there is to it. You will see as we discuss the ideas that you wish to share this day of your time that almost everything you have to share will come down in one way, shape, or form to these ideas, if they has to do with the idea of your own personal growth and your own personal life and the expression of who and what you are. So, with all of that in mind, we once again thank each and every one of you for the opportunity to receive the gift of this sharing from you. And in return for this gift, I ask you now, in what way may I and my world be of service to you? You may begin with sharing in any manner you so desire. Good day.
My name is Frank.
Good day.
Good day.
Speak good up evening. And be bold so that all may hear what you have to share.
Good evening.
If you need to move your electronic device closer so that this facilitates your voice, do so.
Good evening. I think so. Looks like it.
You may wish to check your electronic device.
Say hello.
Hello. Check. 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 No, it's not on.
I believe you will find that there is a small component called a switch.
Well, she checked the switch.
All right. Then we will trust the situation as such. And let
test,
it be
test.
As it is.
I know. I'm just. Test. The switch is on, but the mic is not.
Then you there. Will have to be the amplifier.
Okay.
Speak up and be bold.
Hello.
And to you, good day.
My question is the computer millennium bug.
Yes.
What are the events that will affect our lives here in this country, United States, in Denver, Colorado?
With reference to that idea?
In the United States and the rest of the world, what events will affect we the people of city, state, the United States, and the world? What events will affect us people? And will the stock market fall at this time?
No. It will not. However, you will find that some systems will begin, in your terms, to crash, but not necessarily as many as you think. However, in certain circumstances and in certain circles, as we perceive the energy now, it will cause the beginning of a cascade collapse over time that will allow for an introduction of new systems, new ideas. In other words, we will put it this way. It will be an indication that what you call the mainframe structure is no longer capable of supporting itself under its own weight, and it will allow for the opening and introduction of, through opportunistic time frames, new ideas, new systems, new endeavors, new approaches, that when they are then put into place, will begin to lay the foundations for more communication, more personal self-empowerment, and so forth. This entire process will most likely take about 7 to 10 of your years. And by then, you will see the most rapid changes in the infrastructure of economics, communication, and so forth. Do you follow me?
Yes.
Now remember, all of you, that there is no such thing as a prediction of the future. There is only a sensing of the energy that exists at the time the prediction is made. Because there is only the present. If the energy that is sensed at the time the so-called prediction is made does not change, then it will come to pass. But if it does change, it will not. It does not mean that the prediction was not true. It simply means that the energy has changed. Many times, the existence of a prediction itself will change the energy, because now it has made you aware of where the energy is, and if you don't prefer it to be there, then your consciousness changes the direction of the energy and renders the prediction obsolete. So in many ways, sometimes, a good prediction is doing its job when it renders itself unpredictable. You understand? This is how time works. There is no such thing as a fixed future. There is only the energy that exists at the time the sensing is made, because there are an unlimited number of probable future realities, and it could go in any number of ways. Now, yes, there are some probable future realities that have a great deal of momentum and energy behind them and may be unlikely to shift, and those are, in a sense, easiest to sense and, quote-unquote, predict. But nevertheless, it is created in the moment and sensed in the moment, and barring certain circumstances where there simply is too much mass agreement for something to change, it is almost always changeable. Do you follow me?
Yes, sir.
So, oh, sir.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Since we are being formal, sir, the last thing we would like to say about this concept is to remember that each and every one of you, and all of you together, are your government, to allow yourself to make sure you are not perpetuating division by creating an us and them scenario, but by allowing yourself to work to the creation of systems that you believe are representative of self-empowerment, sharing, communication, clarity, creativity, unconditional love, and support of all, and by instilling those systems and infusing your society with those systems to the best of your ability, they will eventually replace any system that is outdated, that tries to control, that tries to dominate, because ultimately, by definition, such a system will ultimately not be able to stand up under its own weight. And as it begins to crumble a bit at a time, with a little glitch here and a little glitch there, here a glitch, there a glitch, then the new systems will already be in place and will be capable of sprouting up very rapidly to form a network that will take over the job and, in a sense, provide a little bit more equality. Do you follow?
I believe so.
Does this help you?
Yes.
Does it answer your question?
Pretty much.
All right.
I didn't get the stock market.
Yes?
The stock market was a big concern of mine. And
yes. Why is it a concern of yours?
It's a timing thing.
I see. Well, I'm going to have to ask you a question and allow this to be brief. May I?
Yes.
I will put it to you and all of you this way. What is it you're actually putting stock in? I would suggest you put stock in yourselves rather than some relatively arbitrary system.
I'm concerned about the effect of the stock market, what it'll do.
I have already told you why you don't have to be concerned. Did you follow what we said to begin with? If new systems are in place by people who are excited and creative to put them there, then when the other system collapses, it won't matter. For those that have prepared themselves will not feel a negative effect. I remind you of another principle, another tool, that comes into play in this case. Perhaps this will help address the situation a little bit more precisely for you. All situations are fundamentally neutral. No situation has built-in meaning. The meaning you put into it determines the effect you get out of it, regardless of what anyone else's intention happens to be. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, some.
All right. Do you want it to make more sense to you?
Yeah, I'd like to get an idea of a date of a stock market crash.
Why? Knowing what I have already told you about the fact that there is no such thing as a prediction of the future, you still want me to give you one?
A guess? Ballpark figure?
Well, which ballpark are we talking about?
The one that they're playing the stock market in.
I see. January 7th, 2005.
Thank you.
That's one.
Could I have the closest one?
That is the closest one, in the way that you mean it. But it may not happen the way you think it will happen. Put stock in yourself. That is the only thing that will always go up.
All right?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Next sharing.
Good evening, Bishop.
And to you, good day. First of all, before you continue.
Yes.
I wish to stress that we are not being facetious, nor, as you say, tongue-in-cheek, when we speak to you in these terms. What we are talking about is not philosophy, but physics. And these kinds of statements, to put stock in yourself, are statements of absolute fact and mechanistic realism. They are not simply cute catchphrases. We mean this from our heart of hearts. You are the determiner of your realities. When you put stock in yourself, you will understand that no arbitrary system can really reflect what it is you deem is going to be true for you. Continue.
I've heard different reports on whether or not we have reached critical mass.
In some senses, yes, you have.
Could you give a very clear definition of critical mass?
An idea of critical mass is to simply understand when there is a sufficient amount of individuals within the whole collective consciousness of any given reality system that changes its agreement in another direction. That will determine the general path, then, of the whole. Do you follow?
Yes.
You have already gone beyond the necessary critical mass, and now, in a sense, you are simply building up a certain kind of momentum. There are still thresholds to cross within the overall bubble of the critical mass you have built up, but in many ways you have created enough critical mass to allow yourselves to understand that you are taking back your power. Were it not so that you have reached this critical mass, in all probability, we would not be having this discussion. Because your world would not be ready for the idea of the expansion of consciousness that all of you are exploring, not just because of us, but because of yourselves. That is an indication that you have reached the critical mass, that spiritual issues and issues of consciousness are now in your daily language, that you are beginning to hear it in different forms, in different ways, that you all know what you're talking about in that sense, and that you hear others talking about it, are signs and symptoms of the fact that you have reached critical mass in that context. Do you follow?
Yes, thank you.
Does this help you?
Yes, it does.
Is this sufficient?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Good day.
Good day.
Well, good day.
Hi.
All right, hi.
You have a very strong voice.
It is not my voice. We understand that our energy may allow the channel's vocal cords to operate in a higher magnitude than normal.
Cool.
But don't let that dissuade you. You have a loud voice and a strong presence as well. Use it.
All
Be
right.
bold. Speak up so that all may hear what you have to share.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I just wanted to ask about a few weird things that have been going on
yes.
with my body. My head just sort of rings all the time, and I have a terrible...
Then answer it.
Smart aleck. And I have a pain in my neck. And I just wondered, what's going on?
You do not get rid of things, you transform them.
Okay.
May I ask you, as we have already said, what you call the $64 million question? Or do you already know what I'm going to ask you?
No, please ask.
Are you following your highest joy?
Well, I hope
Hesitation
so.
Usually means no.
No.
Phrases like, well, I hope so, usually mean no. Because if you were following your highest joy, you would instantaneously say yes.
Yeah.
Without true. Hesitation.
Well, what is my highest joy?
You tell me.
Oh, gosh.
I can give you some hints and some clues.
I'd appreciate that.
If you want
that.
Some help.
That would be good.
Oh, all right, if you say so. Your highest joy, and this goes generally, first of all, for all of you, is to be yourself as best as you know how. In following and acting on your highest joy does not have to be a big mystery, does not have to be a complicated issue, does not have to necessarily represent itself as a lifelong career or project. Start simple, with simple steps. If you have no overwhelming project or career in mind or anything of that nature, then start moment to moment. Following your highest joy then entails nothing more than this. Are you paying attention?
Yes.
All right. Just checking. At every given moment, you have available to you a number of options of things you could choose to do. don't you?
Yes.
All you have to do is pick the one that has the highest level of excitement in it and do it to the best of your ability. That's all you have to do. And in the next moment, take another assessment. What out of all the options available to me right now is the option and the opportunity and the situation and the circumstance and the direction that contains the highest amount of excitement and joy? And when you have determined what that is, take whatever action you are capable of taking on it as far as you can take it to the best of your ability. And when you can take it no farther, again, ask yourself, out of all the options available to me now, what is the direction that contains the highest joy? And when you find out what that is, take that action to the best of your ability and keep doing that for the rest of your life. Because excitement is the thread that leads you to all other excitement. That is the energy that leads you to yourself. Regardless, important, regardless of how it looks, regardless of whether you think it's connected to something you're supposed to be doing or not, regardless of its outward appearance, because you already know you can't judge a book by its cover. Excitement is the content that lets you know this thing here now is you. Do it. Because by doing it, you are making a statement to the universe full of conviction that it is you. And then the universe can support who you actually are, rather than supporting who you've been told you have to be. You follow me?
Yes.
Now, one thing you must also understand. Sometimes, because we know how you have been taught, and this goes for all of you, I'm not just talking to you personally, you must allow yourself to be honest as to whether you're actually experiencing excitement or anxiety. Because sometimes many of you will go, oh yes, this excites me. And in fact, what you're actually doing is running away from your excitement. And you're actually following something out of anxiety. But you all know the difference when you're honest with yourself, because you know they feel different. And in actual fact, they are the same energy. Your energy, your natural energy, is experienced by your body as the sensation you call excitement when you flow that energy through belief systems that are in alignment with your harmonious natural self. You feel the very same energy as anxiety and fear when you flow your energy through belief systems that are out of tune, out of harmony with your natural self. And that's what fear is for. To tell you, hey, you're feeling fear because you are running your energy through belief systems, beliefs that you have, definitions that you have about this situation that are out of alignment with your true harmonious self. So find out what those definitions are, change them into definitions that you would prefer to have, run your energy through those, and then your relationship with the circumstance will be harmonious and joyful. And you will approach it in a manner that is harmonious and joyful. And in approaching it in that manner, you will get a harmonious and joyful effect out of it. Is this making some physical sense to you?
Yes, it's getting a little excitement going.
Oh, all right. That's the whole point. I also leave you with this understanding, and I understand that we understand, I know sometimes how difficult this concept is for many of you on your planet, but it is that simple. It really is that simple. Now, you can make it more complicated if you want to. I'm not going to take that away from you. Because it's your reality. You all have free will. And we are not here to tell you what to do. If you want to make your life more complicated, please go ahead and do so.
Well, I'd prefer not to, if you don't mind.
All right. Well, if you prefer not to, then you must allow yourself to create definitions that allow you to function more simply. So when you find yourself stuck, when you find yourself feeling blocked, understand it's usually due to a definition you have that is more complicated than it needs to be. Out of alignment with your true self. Find out what the definition is that would make you relate or feel the way you do to the situation. Change it into the definition you would prefer to have with your imagination. Know, this is key, know that when you've created the new definition, it's automatically in place. If you want to go through a long, involved process to replace the old one, that's up to you too, but that only complicates things. But if you know it's automatically replacing the old one, then all you have to do is behave like you know it has replaced the old one, and you will see the effect in your reality. However, big however, underline it 1,000,000 times, however, this is critical. One of the most critical things we can say to you about the idea of looking to your reality for change. And that is this. Do not look to the reality for the change first. You must simply know you have changed. And you must behave differently toward the reality outside you, even if it looks the same as it did before. When you behave differently, when you behave as if you have changed, regardless of how the reality still may look, that's when you really have changed and when your reality can then really reflect the change. But if you are waiting for the reality to show you that you have changed, then you haven't changed. Because you're simply waiting for the reflection in the mirror to smile first, instead of simply smiling first, because that's what you prefer, regardless of whether there's any mirrors around or not. Are you getting the point?
Yes.
Is this sinking in?
It is sinking in.
Is it helping?
Heck yes.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
Yes. What about this 12-strand DNA stuff?
The idea is that we are talking there about etheric levels of energy. It is not that it will all become physicalized, because the human body cannot contain 12 strands of physical DNA. But the idea is that you have two, and in fact you actually have a type of third, but the third is mostly etheric, and it connects to the remaining ones. The idea is to activate your DNA and align your energy in such a way that you can access the energy of the other levels that key into your DNA molecules, but it's not about actually physiologically manifesting them. Your bodies wouldn't be able to handle that. Do you follow me?
Well, sort of. I've been reading those Cryon books, and he's talking about that.
Some of this is simply taken as too literal of an interpretation as to what the information is that's actually intended in coming from that source.
Yeah, that some people will start living to be 900, which makes me feel real tired.
Well, now, again, it is not that that is impossible. The idea certainly is that you can live longer lives. But the paradox of the situation is that the way, in a sense, you will actually live longer is by living more in the single moment of now. And when you live more in the now, you'll be so busy having fun, it is simply that you won't create as much time, but when you look at time relative to yourself, it will appear as if you have lived hundreds of years, but they will have gone in joy and excitement so quickly that you will not feel tired at all, because it will have nothing really to do with linear time. Is this making some sense to you?
Yes.
When you live in the moment, that is when you expand your lifespan, but that's only a relationship to linear time. It doesn't mean you actually are dragging out the years. It simply means that you have expanded to such a point by living in the here and now that the expansion of your energy is represented in linear time as an existence of several hundred years, because an existence of several hundred years is the only way that linear time can express an expansive life so grand. But it will not seem like 900 years to you.
Good.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, next.
Next, next.
Thank you, thank you.
And good day.
Good evening.
All right, good evening.
On my journey to help bring...
Speak up and be bold so that all may hear you.
On my journey to help bring information... for the evolution of New Age.
Yes.
In
on your journey to help bring information for the evolution of New Age. Yes.
I have come upon two choices. One is Machu Picchu, and another is Egypt.
Oh, all right. Does one excite you more than the other, or do they contain a similar level of excitement? First of all, is this representative of your highest level of excitement, these ideas?
Yes.
All right. Does one area or another contain more excitement than another, or are they relatively equal?
One contains more.
Which?
I should follow them. Egypt.
All right. Bye-bye. Did you expect this to be complicated and mysterious?
That helped immensely.
Now remember, no expectation. The key to manifestation is zero expectation that it must turn out the way you think it should. So, follow your excitement. Do the best you can to take a step in the direction of activating your highest joy, but do so understanding that it may not be necessary for it to carry itself out to its logical conclusion for you to have moved in the direction you needed to be moved in. Because sometimes your excitement, your higher self, will dangle something that excites you more than anything else in front of you like a carrot just to get you to move in that direction. It may not be necessary for you to actually get the carrot. Do you understand?
Yes.
So just move in the direction of your excitement. Do not put the assumption that you must wind up in Egypt. You might, but don't have the assumption that you must in order for your excitement to be fulfilled. Take it as far as you can, and when you can take it no further, allow yourself to simply sit again and assess what is the next most exciting thing. No matter if it seems connected or not, act on it, because it is the excitement that tells you it is connected to anything else that contains the same degree of excitement. And even though it may seem to be a roundabout path, it is actually the straightest course to follow. Do you follow me?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
All right. Does that help you?
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Bashar.
And a you good day.
This is Jereen.
Oh, all right, if you insist.
I have been working with, well, first of all, I've been married for 26 years
right.
to a non-metaphysical man.
Oh, all right, non-metaphysical man. Is that the name of the person? Non-metaphysical
no.
man.
No, his name is Jerry.
Oh, all right. Jerry the non-metaphysical man. Now, first of all, before we go on, you do understand that many people on your planet will be living the lives they need to live without necessarily knowing a stitch about the idea you call metaphysics.
Yes, he did.
All right.
He did that.
All right.
So presently, though, I'm working with twin flame energy on the inner planes.
Oh, all right.
And we,
is this fun for you?
Yes, we're accomplishing a world service work.
All right.
So
this is representative of your highest joy?
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, thank you.
So my question about that is, will I soon be in a new relationship, and will we...
Is this the voice of expectation?
Yes.
Are you saying you don't trust your reality to take you where you need to go?
It looks a little...
A little what? Looks a little what? What picture
Incredible.
Are you putting on it?
Incredible.
Meaning what? What is incredible? What are you defining as incredible? Can you be specific?
What am I defining? The work...
What are you defining as incredible?
Beyond words.
But the idea, you are asking a question. Will I do this? Will this happen? And I asked you back, are you not trusting that your reality will take you where you need to be? What was the answer to that question?
I do try. It's difficult.
You try?
Yes.
What's difficult? What is the difficulty you are experiencing?
To trust the direction that this appears to be taking.
Why is that difficult? Why is it
because
easier for you to trust in another direction?
Because I feel unworthy.
You feel unworthy. All right. Thank you for your honesty. That's all right. Now, why do you feel unworthy? What are your reasons for feeling unworthy? You must have them, or you wouldn't feel unworthy.
This is big.
Well, does it fit in the room you are in? Did you get it through the door?
Not yet. It hasn't happened
yet. All right, this is big. Are you implying that this is a lot to handle? Is that what you mean by this is big?
Yes.
All right,
me.
Well, all right. Well, you can start simply. I'm not necessarily assuming that you will give me every single aspect of it in 25 words or less, as you say. But you can start with something. Why is it that you feel unworthy? What one reason can you give me
okay.
that allows you to feel unworthy?
I'm carrying a spiritual child.
You are carrying a spiritual child?
Yes.
What does that have to do with feeling unworthy?
it's the child that makes me feel unworthy.
No, that is impossible. Well, only you can make yourself feel unworthy.
That's right.
So, be more specific.
The energy of this child is much higher than mine.
So?
So my question is, do I have the ability to bring this into physical reality?
Well, let me ask you this question. May I?
Yes.
Do you believe that creation creates pointless creations? Or do you believe that everything fits? I'll ask you another way. Let us use an analogy. Let us say that you have what you call on your planet a fine china vase or cup in your hand. Can you picture this?
Okay.
Have you got it? Is it a vase or a cup?
A cup.
A cup. All right. Now, drop the cup in your imagination and see it shatter on the floor. Have you seen this? You see it shatter into pieces on the floor?
Yes.
All right. Now, here is my question. If you were to pick those pieces up and assemble them, would they assemble back into a cup? This is not a trick question. Would they assemble back into a cup?
By what substance?
Would they assemble back into a cup?
Yes.
Yes, of course, because you dropped a cup and it broke into pieces. And the pieces on the floor are the pieces of a cup. So the idea is that you understand when you see the pieces on the floor that every single piece there has a place where it fits to go back into the concept of becoming a whole cup. There are no extraneous pieces. You're not going to find extra pieces, are you?
No.
Are you?
If I gathered them all, no.
And if you gathered them all, you're not going to be missing any.
Right.
You follow? And let's, for the sake of this illustration, simply say that the pieces didn't go that far. You can see every single one of them so that you know you're going to have exactly just the right amount of pieces and that when you assemble them, they are going to be a cup. Are you following me so far?
Yes.
Therefore, you must understand that every single thing in creation is such a piece of the whole. There are no extraneous pieces, and there are no pieces missing. Everything fits into one big puzzle picture. You follow? Everyone is a piece, a puzzle piece of one big puzzle picture. You follow?
Yes.
And therefore, when everyone is simply who they need to be, when everyone is the shape they were created to be, when everyone is the piece of the puzzle that they were created to be, then they fit where they belong, and they add their piece to the whole picture and support the whole. And there's no leftover pieces, and there's no pieces missing. You follow me?
Yes.
So, if you are the one with whom the child made the agreement, doesn't that automatically, by definition, mean you must belong together? Or the child would have made an agreement with someone else?
Yes.
Well, are you getting the point?
Yes.
Then you must be equal, or it couldn't exist. And it is only your assumption that you are not equal that makes you experience the inequality. It's only your definition that you are not equal that allows you to experience inequality as a tangible reality. But it doesn't mean it's empirically true, because if it were empirically true, we wouldn't be having this conversation, because you wouldn't have this to talk about, because it wouldn't exist in your reality, because there are no pointless creations, and there are no pieces that are not where they don't belong. Do you follow that?
Mm-hmm.
Is this making some sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Is this helping to illuminate and lighten up the whole picture for you?
Yes, yes. Energetically and
all right. That's where it begins. Let it sink in. It will permeate every aspect of your being. It will permeate every other area wherein you might still insist that you are not worthy. But if you really, 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 and this goes for all of you, if you really, really, really were not worthy in the way most of you think, you wouldn't exist at all. In a sense, if I may put this somewhat colloquially and somewhat poetically, there is a very, very large paradox at work when people on your planet think that they are unworthy. It's actually one of the most arrogant things you can say. One of the most egotistical things you can say. Because what you are saying is that, yes, everything in the universe fits perfectly except me. I stand out as the only unworthy aspect of all of creation. Look at me. You see the paradox in saying you are unworthy? Because truly, if you really were unworthy, you wouldn't be in existence at all, because creation would not have created something that didn't belong. And by really saying you're unworthy and really allowing yourself to believe that you are unworthy, what you're telling the Creator is that the gift of existence is worthless. The gift you have given is worthless. I throw it back in your face. Now, the Creator loves you unconditionally, so the Creator doesn't mind. Because the Creator loves you all so unconditionally that the Creator allows you to even believe you are not worthy. That's how loved and worthy you are. Because you have total freedom to believe whatever you want. That's how loved and supported you are. And if you want to believe you're unworthy, creation says, okay, I love you none the less. And I will allow you to believe what you choose to believe, but the proof is that you exist. And if you stop and take a moment to really think about it, you will realize that your very existence means you must be worthy, because creation would not have created you were you not. Because you are an aspect of the infinite. Remember the second law? You are an aspect of the one, and you are the one, pretending, in a sense, to be a part of the one. So if you're saying, I'm unworthy, you're saying it's all worthless.
I have said that.
Yes, I know, and that's all right. Again, it is a valid perspective, but the idea is that you do not necessarily have to think that it's actually an empirical truth as if it were a law of creation. I already told you what the four laws were. You didn't hear me say the fifth law is that you are unworthy. No. So it's not a law, it is only a point of view. You're using the four laws to create a point of view and a belief that you're unworthy, but it's not an empirical absolute truth. It's only an experience. And you can change it because it's an experience. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next.
Hello, Bashar.
And to you, good day.
I'm here to ask you, I think you've answered most of my other questions.
All right.
I appreciate the repetition. We learn slowly here.
Not really.
Well, it seems like it.
No, not really. You see, all of you know exactly what you're doing. I'm just reminding you of what you're doing. None of you learn slowly at all. You are all absolute masters at creating the realities you create. We're just reminding you that the idea is not that you are not creating perfection. It's just that some of you are choosing to create perfect misery. You understand?
Yes, I do.
But that doesn't mean you are not in control of creating your reality, and you all know this. So anyway, you're not slow learners. Don't judge yourself. Please, on our account, go ahead.
So if you have a mess around you...
A mess, yes.
Would you say that the advice to get through it and go beyond would be the moment-to-moment living
moment?
In some
senses. But the idea, of course, is personal value, personal integrity, personal responsibility for the consequences of your own actions... Allowing clear communication to all components involved in all relationships you have co-created, so that you are being responsible for your parts in all the relationships that might have led to what you are defining as messes, but also learning from them as lessons, so that you can then make clear statements within yourself that you are learning from them and have learned that this is not necessarily the direction of your preference. And in choosing a new direction, then you will be using them as stepping stones, and you will be incorporating and integrating these experiences into you and becoming more holistic, in a nutshell. Do you understand?
Yeah. Sort of.
Well, can you be more specific about what you are defining as a mess?
Yes. Okay. I guess my blockage or battle right now has been with linear time.
It seems battling linear time.
Yes, and it seems like...
My, how dramatic.
Well, it is dramatic.
Why are you battling linear time, and
well,
in what way?
It just feels like there's...
What does that mean?
Battling linear time?
Yes, what does that mean?
Well, having many more things to do and get done, and feels like there's time to do.
Sometimes, not always... But more often than not, that is usually a symptom of doing more than you have to do. It is usually a symptom of not really allowing the thing that excites you the most to be the first thing you do. Because the thing that excites you the most, pay attention, is A, the organizing principle, and B, the driving engine that determines C, what other things need to be done. Okay. When you act on the thing that excites you the most to the best of your ability first, your day will automatically organize itself in order of all the things that excite you that you have the ability to do. Whatever it is, in a sense, you don't have time to do when you're done with that day, didn't need doing.
I understand that.
Because when you operate that way, all the things that are truly important for you to function holistically, and all the circumstances that really need to appear in your life to allow you to do what you really need to get done, will fill and fit perfectly in any given moment or day or time span, and will allow you to experience this in a very effortless and creative, poetic, and synchronistic way, rather than feeling you have to scramble to do things that may only be, in a sense, things that your personality structure has been taught it needs to do as an offshoot of who you think you are. Did that make sense?
Yes.
Does that help you?
Yes, it does. I appreciate it.
Now remember, we're not talking about giving up responsibility, but the idea is to claim your relationship to what you're doing and redefine it in a way that simultaneously allows you to choose a new direction and make changes, and simultaneously allows you to communicate to everyone else who might be connected or involved that you are doing so, so everyone has a chance in their own way to adjust. I'm not saying you have to be responsible for other people's reactions or responses beyond a certain point, but the idea is to simply be a clear communicator that you yourself are changing and that your awareness can then present to them the changes that are going on within you so that they can then determine how it is they can then relate to you or not relate to you from that point forward, and that will also help organize the things and relationships and interactions you really do need to have and really don't need to have.
Thank you.
Does that help?
Yes.
Thank you. I wish to add one more thing. All of you can absorb this in your own way, but it keys into the last thing that we were just discussing. Regarding the idea of linear time, I understand, and I'm not taking away from it because it is a valid experience, but the idea is that what you all call one moment after another, these are all actually the same one moment. Because there is only one moment in creation. There is only here, there is only now. What you experience as a succession of different moments are all the same one moment from different points of view and different experiences of the same one moment. But the only way you have to experience all of those different points of view of the same moment in linear time is to experience them as if it is one discrete moment after another. But it's all the same moment. Let that sink in whatever way it benefits you. Yes. Good day.
Good day, Bashar.
Speak up and be bold.
May I ask you, could you touch on and help with the fears, like with claustrophobia and these different
touch
fears?
Touch on the fears, such as claustrophobia and so forth. Now, many of you already understand, of course, that these things are sometimes imprinted upon many of your psyches through certain experiences that some of you may have either in childhood or in what you might call an impressionable moment. But nevertheless, it still all comes down to the idea that it is really an imprintation in the definitional belief system. All fears are a reaction to something you believe to be true. You don't have a feeling about anything if you don't first have a definition or a belief about that thing or that circumstance or that situation. So all fears, no matter how it exhibits itself, first of all, understand it is a reaction to a definition you have bought into. That is the impression that you bought into. It was a belief system or a definition that allows you to experience your reality in this particular emotional way. Now, sometimes, yes, the specific type of fear, such as what you call claustrophobia, can be symbolic of what the definition itself is. And therefore, the type of fear can actually help you get in touch with what the definition might be. For example, again, claustrophobia may be related to the idea of a definition that says that you cannot expand, that you are structured and held fast by limitation itself, that you are, in that sense, suffocating by the limiting beliefs that you have been spoon-fed or forced to buy into unknowingly. And the claustrophobia may be your psyche's way of letting you know you have these beliefs, so that the fear will become so great it will force you to waken to the fact consciously that you have these beliefs unconsciously, so you will find them, change them, and then in so doing, transform the fear into joy. Do you follow?
Oh, yes, that's it.
Fear,
that's
what fear is for. It is there to tell you you have a belief that is out of alignment with who and what you truly are. We have often used the analogy of a piano, the instrument on your planet, to demonstrate this idea. If you are sitting down at a piano and you are playing a song, and all of a sudden you hit a sour key, a flat note, you do not usually run away from the piano screaming in terror and swear you will never play again. Usually you say, ah, this is out of tune. I must tune that particular key. And this is what fear is. It is like a sour key, a flat key, an out-of-tune key. It must be tuned. What must be tuned? The definition must be tuned. You must find out what the definition is that allows you to experience the flat key, change the definition, which is the process of fine-tuning, and then bring it back into harmony with the rest of your keys. That's really all it is. And the specific type of fear can be, as we have said, a big clue as to what the definition is you may have bought into. So use your fear to serve you. And the more you understand that that's what fear can be used to do, the more excited and curious you will become about fear when you experience it, and the more quickly you will transform the fear into curiosity, imagination, and inspiration. We're not saying bury your fear. No, you ought to feel it. Invite it. Invite it to be as powerful as it possibly can be. Because when you are dealing with that magnitude of fear, you are dealing with core issues that, when you use the fear that is connected to the core issue in this creative way, will allow you to transform in very fast, very, 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 very powerful ways. We call this the rubber band principle. And that simply means is that, like a rubber band on your planet, the further back into the dark side you pull the rubber band, then once you do let go, the faster and farther it will snap into the light. So sometimes when you're feeling like you're dealing with great negative energies, that's a sign that you are ready to snap and transform it into great positive energies if you simply use it in that way. Feeling overwhelming negative energies is actually paradoxically a sign of your power to use the light. But because most of you have been taught the definition that feeling all that negativity means you're stuck in it, instead of being given the definition that feeling all that negativity means you're ready to bolt into the light, you often simply feel yourself stuck in the dark. But it's only because of the definition and the approach you use to it, instead of realizing that you can use it in a positive way to propel yourself onto the other side. Make sense?
Yes.
Does that help you?
Yes.
Do you feel a little bit lighter?
Yes.
All right. Does that serve you then?
Yes, that helps. And may I ask about what your opinion on mercury toxicity in the teeth is? And
our understanding of heavy metal toxicity is that, and in particular the idea of mercury, is that it is generally responsible for anywhere from 20 to 30 to 40 to 50% of reduction in bodily energy.
And may I ask what we can do about it when you can't get them redone and about growing new teeth, please?
It is not impossible for you to grow new teeth, but we would always suggest that you take the path of least resistance and simply replace them. And understand that your reality can allow you to do this. It's not impossible to grow new ones, but most of you will find that your belief systems have a tough enough time dealing with what you consider to be relatively mundane ideas rather than doing something that most of you, not all of you, most of you consider to be really hard. But the idea is that you must honor what beliefs you actually have. Follow the path of least resistance. For most of you, the path of least resistance in your beliefs would simply be to know that you can synchronistically attract into your life an individual who would be able to help you replace them easily, effortlessly, painlessly, quickly. You follow me?
Yes, and may I ask what type of substance? I've talked to a woman scientist that feels that some of this that they do use and the glue that they use isn't good either.
Again, most of you already know that when you introduce into your natural body substances that are, in your terms, relatively artificial and unnatural, do you not understand, of course, that more often than not, there will usually be a detrimental effect? This is not mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
It's no more mysterious than that. So this is all about allowing yourself to get back as close as possible to your natural self. That's what it's about. Because many of these things that you have created in your atmosphere and in your environment are, in that sense, weighing you down. And are not allowing you to avail yourself of many of these energy tools as strongly as you could. Now, yes, again, belief system can go a long way toward helping transform some of these things, but sometimes many of you try to force yourself to be more spiritual. I should be able to handle this energetically. But when, in all honesty, you actually understand that sometimes it really is representative of a more spiritual honesty by simply following the belief of least resistance and simply allowing yourself to follow a path that may seem relatively mundane or typical, but nevertheless is actually the easiest way to get the job done. You follow me?
Yes.
Does that help you then?
In the meantime, is there...
There is no in the meantime. Go and do what you can do as quickly as you can. Period. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Bashar. I'm
Janet. You, good day.
And I'm really glad you're here with us.
Well, I am not there, but thank you for the sentiment.
Yeah. I guess what my issue is right now is...
Yes? What is your issue? And what volume and number is it?
I feel like I've been following my excitement with the intention that I would find something that I could be involved in that would also reward me financially.
Is there a but in this?
Where's a but?
Now, do you understand, again, how you said that? Listen to the sentence. I am following my excitement with the intention of finding something to do that will reward me financially. Boy, are you putting the cart before the horse a couple of times removed. You're going about
obviously.
It backwards.
Obviously.
Backwards. Backwards. Has any of the ideas that we have discussed this day of your time allowed you to start to rethink this concept?
Yeah, I've been working. I've been thinking. Yes.
All right. The idea, again, is this. All of you pay attention. You are all already abundant. Infinitely abundant. You must allow yourself to understand the idea of acting on your joy, the idea of feeling the energy of excitement within you is its own sufficient idea. You are making it conditional. I'll be happy if. I'll be happy when. You see? If this happens, when that happens, I'll be happy, is what you're actually saying. That's the equation you are creating. If you know that you simply want to be joyful, happy, excited, and in that state, The state will allow your reality to reflect abundance and other forms of expression of excitement. But you cannot choose to be happy because it will do that. That's conditional. You need to be unconditional, which means, in a nutshell, in simplest terms, that you choose to be in a state of ecstasy just because that's what you prefer. For no other reason other than that's what you prefer. I am doing what I am doing, communicating to yours and other societies, because it is my joy. I would do it if there was only one person listening. I would do it if no one was listening. I do not make my joy and my expression of my joy conditional. And because I make it unconditional, because I allow it to be unconditional, there are always people to talk with. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to plan for it. I just have to express my joy for no other reason than that's who I am. I don't need another reason. I don't need it to do anything for me. I do it because it is me, and there is no better reason than that. When I do it because it is me, then things happen. The universe reflects that it is me in all the ways that it can. A misunderstanding that many of you have, perhaps more accurately, a misdefinition. Many of you focus on the idea of careers, goals, achievements, purpose. What is my mission in life? What is my purpose? When will it lead to this? When will it lead to that? How will it bring me abundance? How will it do this? How will it support me? You only have one purpose. All of you, you have the same purpose. Different, but the same. Your only purpose is to be who you are to the best that you can be. Because you are unique. You have never been this you before, you will never be this you again. This you only has one life to live. Therefore, your purpose, your mission, your goal is to be this you in the best possible way you can. You know how to be. That's it. That's it. That's your mission. That's your purpose. That's your goal. That's it. So take the weight off your shoulders, all of you. You have no other mission, no other purpose, no other goal. That's it. Just to be you. That's it. Now, what you call projects, careers, goals, achievements, these are your chosen methods of expressing the goal of being yourself. But they are not the goal. They are not the mission. They are not the purpose. You are the mission, to just be you. However you choose to express that is up to you. We would suggest that you choose to express it in the way you believe is most harmoniously aligned and representative with the joy of who you are. But those things you do are not the goals. When you thus then simply choose to be who you are, then everything will be there that needs to be there. Abundance, what have you. But we have recently shared with you one of the most important principles about the idea of abundance. Because first of all, remember that abundance can, well, obviously, especially on your planet, mean the idea you call money. That's a valid way to represent exchange and abundance. It's not the only way. The idea of abundance really is simply the ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it, period. That's abundance. But you don't have to necessarily assume that it always requires money. Sometimes money is actually the longest route. Sometimes it's not, but sometimes it is. So the idea is to let it be and drop the insistence that it must be this way so that abundance can come to you in any way that it needs to represent the path of least resistance and the most expansive expression. Now, the tool we have recently shared, the axiom, the principle we have recently shared that is a very key critical principle about how to allow abundance to expand specifically in your life is this. When you can learn to do more with less, you will then be able to do less and get more. One more time, pay attention. This is absolutely critical. When you understand this, you will really understand manifestation regarding the idea of abundance. I'll say it one more time. Write it down if you want to. It is an absolutely key functional principle. When you learn that you can do more with less, you will then be able to do less and get more. As an example that we gave, if there is a person that fancies themselves an artist, you know, yes, you can be an artist with fancy paints, fancy pens and pencils and computers, yes, but if all you have is a burnt stick, a charcoal stick burnt in the fire and scratched on a cave wall, you are no less an artist. If you judge that the burnt stick somehow doesn't allow you to be an artist, as much of an artist as the person with all the high technology, that is where you get yourselves into trouble and where you short-circuit your ability to attract abundance. When you can do as much as you possibly can imagine you can do with what you have, when you can do more with less, if you just have the burnt stick and you create beautiful images with the burnt stick, do as much as you can with the burnt stick, create beautiful sculptures with the burnt stick, then that act will radiate out and will attract to you other individuals, other circumstances, who will then begin to interact with that level of energy, that level of conviction you put out, and that will bring you more opportunity to get more by doing less. And don't you observe in general that the most quote-unquote accomplished artists among you can actually just squiggle a few lines and it's considered a masterpiece worth millions? Don't you notice that in the evolution of many of your most powerful artists? They begin simple, they go through complexity, but usually they come back to simplicity when they are advanced. They have learned that by doing as much as they could with what little they had to begin with, they now have to do very little to get quite a lot. That's the principle. Apply it in every field and every endeavor. There is always a counterpart in every field you can think of. You understand?
I'm understanding.
Does this help you then?
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
Thank you a lot.
You are welcome a lot.
Good day, Bashar.
And to you, good day.
All right, I have a few questions. Well, actually, just one major one.
All right, one major question. Speak up maybe bold so that all may hear what you have to share.
All right, I was driving home from work one night.
Yes.
And I first saw one orange light.
Yes.
Driving down the road about 20 miles more, right as I get to my house, I see one light, an orange light, it disappears,
yes.
Another orange light, it disappears,
yes.
Another orange light, and then that's it.
Yes.
Could you elaborate for me what that could have been?
Well, all right, but first I will ask you a question. May I?
Sure.
Thank you. We perceive that you have in your area a facility that you call an airport nearby, yes?
Yes.
Most likely, right now, there is an airplane taking off from that airport going somewhere. Yes?
Yes.
All right. I ask you, where is it going and who's on that plane? Well, where's it going and who's on that plane? Can you tell me?
No.
Why not?
I don't think I understand the question.
Oh, yes, you do. It's very simple. I am asking you, who are the individuals, what are their names that are on that airplane, and what city is that airplane going to? Do you know?
No.
Why not? Your response is, well, because, Bashar, I don't keep track of all the comings and goings of all the airplanes and all the people in my area. So I don't know. And my response to you is, I don't keep track of all the spaceships coming and going.
All right.
And so I don't always know who's doing what and where they're doing it.
I guess that makes sense.
Do you understand?
But could you please tell me what kind of ship it could have been, if it was one?
You will find that what you perceived as we scan your energy and pick up the clues from there is that you were seeing an interdimensional shift of a type of craft that was not fully in your physical reality. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Does that help you?
Yes, it does.
Now, we are saying, of course, there are no accidents. Timing and synchronicity is everything. And, of course, there is a relationship, an energetic relationship, between the idea of you being at that place at that time to witness that particular energy shift of that particular group and craft. But the idea mostly is that, at least as we can scan in your energy right now, it was a relatively innocuous coming and going, a relatively innocuous passing through. But for you, there is the residual effect of helping you to awaken, to become more sensitive to higher levels of energy so that you can understand that you can expand your senses into those levels and see more things that are beyond the physical. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
That is one of the reasons why it happened in that place and time, to stretch your senses. Make sense?
Yes, it does.
And I will give you this much. You are actually quite familiar with those crafts and those beings.
Well,
sleep on it. All right?
Okay.
Let it sink in, ask your guides for assistance, and sleep on it and see what you get.
Okay.
Visualize the orange lights that you saw. Just open yourself up, ask for information. You will get it, usually within what you call 72 hours. All right?
Okay.
Does that help you?
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well,
caught me off guard. It's a joy to share with you, and
You as well.
And I would like to invite you into my dreams as I'm sleeping periodically. You're welcome to come.
We will go where we know we have access and permission. Nothing will keep us out because we are busybodies.
When we were last together, we shared how I had 1,300 other. Marcus's in parallel realities and on
yes.
this earth. Can you give me some...
You'll now have 1,750.
I appreciate that. And can you, like, share with me some information? Like, I'd love to have them share with me some sight I may, or, you know...
Well, they do all the time. There is always, always, always bleed through from all of your all parallel reality lies, and you go in their direction as well. Their experiences feed you, your experiences feed them. It's just that you don't always recognize the bleed through for what it is because it has to come to you in a context in which you can apply the information in your reality. So sometimes what you get is simply insights, hunches, inspirations, and other kinds of information may actually be bleed through experiences that your parallel selves may be having that work best for you in the reality that you're in here. You follow me? You're always getting it. There's always cross-communication ongoing all the time, to put it linearly.
If I'm really down and out and highly emotional,
yes.
Can that have a detrimental effect on the others?
No.
Good.
Unless they choose it to.
And vice versa.
And vice versa, because you all have equal choice. You are all autonomous. Remember, every part is the whole, functioning as a part. Therefore, everyone experiences what they choose to experience, regardless of what anyone else's experiences may be. They may receive energy and information, but it is up to them to allow it in and process it how they will. You can't do it to them, but they can choose to do it to themselves.
Got it. And as I'm ongoing 20 years teaching with Dr. Leiby here in Colorado.
Yes.
And can you share with me his origins and how you perceived the mission?
No.
The goal? Can you share his origins?
No.
Can you share how I could better fulfill my participation?
Follow your joy.
To get to my natural self.
Realizing that you are your natural self is what we are talking about. It is not that you have to become your natural self, all of you. It is that you have to remember what your natural self is and start behaving like it. Yes.
Right. So my last question here is, as I follow my joy, does it matter if it's totally immoral? How does morals play into that?
How can following your excitement and being your natural self be immoral? Can you explain how you can allow those concepts to coexist in that definition of natural self?
Thank you for asking. Committing adultery with the woman who's married?
Yes. Well, then there is not an expression of your actual highest joy. Did you not understand when we said before that one of the components is clarity of communication?
Right, an anxiety versus excitement.
Yes, and the idea is that when you act on your joy and it involves other relationships, if you are not honest enough to share with all involved who you really are and what it is you really prefer, then you are actually not expressing your true natural self. You must give everyone else the opportunity to decide whether or not who you are is someone they actually want to interact with. You must allow them to follow their joy as well by being honest about what it is that you believe is your joy. Then when you are up front with everyone, everyone can make a clear, educated, simple decision about what they wish to do in a mutually consenting way, and no one is being kept in the dark. You understand?
I believe I've got that, yes.
When someone is kept in the dark, then the full light isn't present.
Got it.
Does that help you?
It helps me tremendously.
It's all about integrity.
Yes.
All right. Then you understand. You must first make sure that what you believe you're doing is truly reflective of your actual excitement, or whether it really is an expression of anxiety, because many times humans, no offense, will do things they think are representative of their joy when in fact it's not. They can fool themselves into thinking that it is, and they can gloss over things they would rather not do that really are things they ought to do, and pretend that they are living their joy. But if you are clear that the ideas you are expressing are truly representative of your natural self, then you must understand the only way that that's going to be really expressed in truth is to interact with individuals who also want to interact with you on that level in conscious awareness, and not to force individuals who do not prefer those ideas to interact with you when they would rather be interacting with someone else on another level. You follow me?
I look forward to studying the tape, actually.
Oh, all right.
To get all that. I'll just cut to the quick.
Yes.
When I ended this love relationship and she rebounded, I got so upset and so, like, I lost it.
Yes.
I feel like I'm never going to get over it.
Oh, all right. Then never get over it.
Well, I'm to redefine that was acceptable, okay, and okay is really like, it's I'm having a difficult time.
I know, but that's all right. So what? Acknowledge that you are having a difficult time. Allow yourself to experience the feelings that you are experiencing and learn from them. And allow yourself to understand how it is that these experiences may allow you to then determine who you would prefer to be, as opposed to perhaps who you have been. And allow yourself to go on. Simple as that.
I will do that.
All right.
Thank
it's
you.
Up to you. Thank you.
Good day.
And to you, good day.
Yes.
One moment. There is now, with respect to the last question, and with respect to many things that may be of importance to many of you, there is now on your planet literature in the form you call a book that would be very efficacious for all of you to read. Rarely do we recommend, but in this case, since it is practically the only one that talks about this subject, and it is insightful in this area, and would benefit many of you with regard to the concept of love and relationships, we would suggest strongly that you allow yourself to acquire a book called The Heart's Code. You will understand that not just your brain, but your heart actually has intelligence and memory and communication skills, energetically. This will teach you what that is all about, and will help you understand how to balance all the things that go through your belief system in your mind with the idea of the certainty of your true self, which comes through the heart energy gate. The Heart's Code. C-O-D-E. Find it. Read it. It will help you. Continue.
Okay.
Good day.
Good day, once again.
Is it another day now?
No, but it was the second time we said good day to one another.
Oh, all right.
but
since everything is the first time, good day.
And good evening.
All right.
Shall we continue?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I'm interested in hearing your perspective on the phenomenon that came with the passing of Princess Diana.
Yes.
Why so many people were so deeply affected around the world by her death.
Because a legacy was handed to you. Both the individual that you call your Princess Diana and almost simultaneously what you call the Mother Teresa transitioned from physical to non-physical reality, and they symbolized the idea of interaction in beneficial and loving and supportive ways with humanity, what you call humanitarianism acts. They showed you the kinds of things that need to happen on your planet, but they showed you long enough. It's up to you. Take over the mantle. Do the kinds of things they showed you how to do. They have transferred the scepter to you. They have transferred the mantle to you. They have acted as symbols of love, of another, of support, of others, of sharing, of assistance, of help, not taking responsibility for, but being responsible to, being self-empowered, sharing, helping, loving, and then left the physical world so that you wouldn't necessarily simply rely on them to do it, so that you now, if you want that energy to continue, will have to find that energy in each and every one of yourselves and act that way in your own lives more and more every day. That's why. Okay. It was a very powerful transition and caused a very, very, very strong ripple in the collective consciousness of your entire planet that gave it a nice little boost in the heart.
Yes.
It stretched you. So stretch. Go with it. Become as they were in all the ways that you possibly can. In the ways that you would like to express that energy. That is how you help others. By being yourself as fully as you can, that is how you help everyone else. Because if you're not you, you can't help anyone. Because you're not there. So first, be you. Then you will be, by your behavior, a shining example that others can be who they are. And that will make all the difference in your world. Do you understand?
Yes, yes, indeed.
Does this help you in answering your question?
Yes.
Was there something else?
Yes, there was.
Yes.
It's about the crop circles in England.
Yes.
Can you speak about what or who the energy is that creates them?
We will say this. It is a co-created situation by many different consciousnesses, including all of yours. I will put it to you this way. The energy that is manipulated is the energy of your collective consciousness, of your planet's collective consciousness. The symbols are expressions of the dreaming that is going on, the symbolic dreaming that is going on in your collective consciousness now that it is waking up and talking to itself. There are others, other dimensional beings, extraterrestrial beings, other levels of entities that are also involved in this co-creation. But basically what those symbols represent is the collective consciousness of your entire world speaking to itself, communicating to itself, waking itself up out of a long, 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 long dream into a new dream. A bridge. They are a bridge, a link. They are a language from one reality shift to another. Understand them by energy. Understand them by tone. Understand them by form. Understand them by how they allow you to feel. Understand them by ratio, by mathematics. Understand them in any language you wish to, because they are universal in that sense. And they are the language of your universal collective unconsciousness becoming more conscious. You are waking up, and many beings are helping play in those fields. As you say, in the fields of the Lord. Do you follow?
Yes, I do.
At play in the fields of the Lord.
Huh? That's great.
But it is the collective energy, what you all call either Christ consciousness, Buddha nature, Krishna spirit, it doesn't matter what you call it. It is the world spirit that forms the medium through which these energies can thus, and these forms can thus be created.
Can you say why so many of them appear in southern England?
Yes. There is a focal point there that has to do with linking an old age to a new age. Because in ancient England were the remnants of the Druids that were offshoots of ancient Atlantean knowledge, and it became the seat of psychic exploration and societies that formed the link and the bridge into your modern age of the exploration of consciousness and spirituality. You follow me?
I do. Yes.
So it is a very magnetic spot for the idea of carrying through from the old cycle to the new cycle. There are other areas, and it is spreading around your planet, but that is one of the main focal points and one of the earliest points, because it represents one of the earliest gates and vortices through which the energy of the old world was preserved and kept for a time when it would then be applicable and available to the new age that you are creating. Does that help you?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. At this timing, we must now extend once again to each and every one of you our deep appreciation in allowing for the co-creation of this transmission, this link and bridge between our civilization and your own. Once again, each and every time this is co-created, it affords an expansion of our understanding of all the ways the infinite can express itself, and we thank you for this unconditionally loving gift. Our unconditional love to each and every one of you, and remember, you are never alone. You have guides, you have friends, you have help. Open up, be vulnerable, because total vulnerability is total self-empowerment, because you open up to the infinite, and when you open up to the infinite, you are infinitely supported. Vulnerability is strength, paradox is power. Thank you for choosing to be yourselves. Our unconditional love, and good day. How did it go?
Wonderful.
Good. Thank you all very much for being here tonight. And thank you. Please have a good evening. And you're welcome. You're welcome. Good.